بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome back everyone to our beloved podcast The Splendors of the Sahaba, an original podcast brought to you by Masjid Al-Islah. Inshallah, today with me Ustaz Haruzaman again, we will look at one of the famous companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, be inspired by them and extract some benefits and lessons that we can learn from their life stories. Now for today's session, it will be a bit interesting because we will look at a companion who was known as a person who is well acquainted with the Quran, or as we call it, Ahlul Quran. A person who is always associated with the Quran, associated with teaching the Quran, associated with reciting the Quran even. And even in our community, we know that our community have high regards for people who memorize the entire Quran. We can see this entirely when we look at our Taraweeh prayers, where, you know, all of the jama'ah will go to the imam. So we can see this in our community where they hold a high regard to those who memorize the entire Quran, those who master the recitation of the Quran, and those who teach the Quran even. So without a doubt, this would be the companion for today, Sayyidina Ubay bin Ka'ab radiallahu anhu. So this companion, Ubay bin Ka'ab, was from the Ansar. So we know that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is divided into so-called two factions, the Muhajirin and the Ansar. So the Muhajirin are basically companions who migrated from Mecca and went to Medina. So most of them were elders among the companions, and most of them were the early converts who was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam since the beginning of da'wah. Similarly, the Ansar, on the other hand, the Ansar are those people who had lived in Medina. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muhajirin came to Medina, the people who lived at Medina, who welcomed them, who gave them shelter, who supported them, these people or these companions are known as the Ansar. So Ubay bin Ka'ab was amongst the companions, amongst the people of the Ansar faction. So Ubay bin Ka'ab, today's companion, is a very special companion because he is very well acquainted with the Quran. And inshallah, by listening to some of his stories, listening to some of the things that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned about him and some of the things that happened with him that is acquainted with the Quran, we may be inspired to love the Quran a bit more. At the same time, we will want to ask this very important question to ourselves while we are listening this. Where are we with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book? What is our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book? Where are we at reciting the Quran? Where are we also in trying to learn about the Quran, in trying to understand the meaning of the Quran? How many surahs that have we recited every week, every month? How many surahs that we actually pondered upon the verses? Even take example as simple as Surah Al-Fatiha or even Surah Al-Ikhlas. Those simple surahs that we recite every now and then in our daily prayers. How many of those surahs that we actually comprehend about them? Comprehend the meaning behind those words? What exactly did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or what exactly does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to know about in these surahs and verses? So I hope that you cling on to this question, you ask yourself this question while listening to this. At the same time, at the end of this session, inshallah, we hope also to be more inspired and be more confident to answer this question itself. So without further ado, let's take a look at Ubay bin Ka'ab's life, at the same time some of the things that happened during his lifetime and what is associated with the Quran. At the same time, we look at some of the virtues that the Prophet ﷺ had mentioned about him. So one of the virtues that the Prophet ﷺ had mentioned about Ubay bin Ka'ab is the fact that Rasulullah ﷺ included him amongst the companions who are considered as the teachers of the Quran. So the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in several hadith that you should take Quran, or you should learn the Quran, from several companions. Amongst them, Abdullah bin Mas'ud, amongst them Mu'adh bin Jabal, and amongst them also our companion Ubay bin Ka'ab. And interestingly enough, according to history, we know that a lot of the elder amongst the companions, a lot of the companions actually learned and studied under Ubay bin Ka'ab. And he was known as the Sahib al-Quran, or the Imam fil Quran, the leader, the ulama, the scholar of the Quran. And even Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, the one who became the second Khalifa, when he became the Khalifa, he actually appointed Ubay bin Ka'ab as the Imam to lead the Taraweeh session. And we know, in our community even, our mosque usually will choose those Imams who have a good voice, those whose recitation is the best, those who had memorized the entire Quran, at the same time, those who will deliver well praying, and also at the same time, the mosque hope also that the jama'ah will also attain khushu' whenever they are performing the tarawih prayers. So without a doubt, becoming an imam, leading the tarawih prayers and reciting the Quran in its entirety in the tarawih prayers is actually a sign and to show that Ubay bin Ka'ab is a person who is not just a teacher of the Quran, at the same time someone who loves the Quran and is always acquainted with the Quran. So he's a teacher of the Quran, he's a reciter of the Quran as an imam. Now let's look at some stories which are quite pleasant to hear about that is also associated about Ubay bin Ka'ab and his relationship with the Quran. So it was told that Ubay bin Ka'ab regularly finished the Quran in around 8 days. Now to us that seems surprising because, you know, it's actually quite rare to find individuals today even that recite the Quran or finish the entire Quran around 8 days or even less than a week. I think most of us will finish the Quran around a month, for some of us a year, for some of us even during Ramadan. Although all of that is fine, but the fact that Ubay bin Ka'ab finished the Quran in 8 days is actually an astounding feat. Actually, it shows his love with the Quran. Of course, if you're really in love with something, you will never feel bored of it. So we also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us that love, to give us that passion, to give us that ability to never feel bored to read his book. Because at the end of the day, when we recite the Quran, we will receive a lot of benefit, a lot of blessings. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had also mentioned in a particular hadith that whoever recites a letter of the Quran, he will receive 10 reward. And the Prophet said, it is not that alif lam mim is a letter, but alif is a letter, lam is a letter, and mim is a letter. So how much reward we can gain by just reciting Surah Fatiha? How much reward we can gain by reading a long surah, like for example Surah Al-Baqarah, or for example Surah Al-An'am? So this is a beautiful motivation for us to love the Quran a bit more. And of course, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that passion and love. So a story that I would like to share with you is about two verses which was revealed in front of Ubay bin Ka'ab. So the first one was about the great verse that we call as Ayatul Kursi. I think most of us, all of you here, had memorized Ayatul Kursi, and we regularly recite Ayatul Kursi before we go to sleep. Sometimes when we go out to work or outside to seek protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will recite Ayatul Kursi. So Ayatul Kursi was considered as the greatest verse in the Quran. So in this story, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once met Ubay bin Ka'ab. So he actually said, Ya Aba Munzir, O Ubay bin Ka'ab, what is the greatest verse in the Quran? So the Prophet asked Ubay bin Ka'ab a very great question. Ubay bin Ka'ab did not know the answer, so he said, Allah wa Rasuluhu A'lam. Allah and His Messenger knows best, I don't know. So again, the Prophet asked him, Ya Ubay, what is the greatest verse in the Quran? So of course, he repeated the same thing, I don't know, Ya Rasulullah, Allah wa Rasuluhu A'lam, Allah and His Messenger knows best. He repeated for the third time, he asked, Ya Ubay, what is the greatest verse of the Quran? So Ubay said the same thing, Allah wa Rasuluhu A'lam. And then the Prophet proceeded to say, the greatest verse of the Quran is in fact, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum, until the end of the verse, which is exactly Ayatul Kursi. And after that, Rasulullah ﷺ actually touched Ubay's chest and he said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this knowledge pleasant for you. So the fact that Ubay bin Ka'ab was chosen as the companion where Rasulullah ﷺ revealed to him that the greatest verse in the Quran is Ayatul Kursi is in fact an honor. Imagine the Prophet ﷺ actually coming to us and telling us this question or asking us this question, and we are the ones that will receive this knowledge, that, and we are the one that will tell other people, oh, guess what? The Prophet ﷺ told me that the greatest verse in the Quran is Ayatul Kursi. That's a great honor indeed. So we can see how Ubay bin Ka'ab is well associated with the Quran. That's one story about him and the Quran and how the Quran was revealed in front of him. There's another story also about another surah that was revealed in front of him, but this time is more personal. So if the first story was more about honor, was more about being, you know, of a status, because Rasulullah ﷺ actually chose him to ask this question, of all the companions, he can choose Abu Bakr, he can choose Ali, he can choose the other companions that we know of, yet instead he chose Ubay bin Ka'ab for that particular question. So it is not, in this other story, it's more personal. So Rasulullah ﷺ in another hadith, and this hadith is also present in Muslim, so he met Ubay bin Ka'ab and he asked a question, Ya Aba Munzir, O Ubay bin Ka'ab, I have something to tell you. So Ubay said, Ya Rasulullah, what is it? So Rasulullah says, Ya Ubay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told me to recite this to you. Okay, so he recited, the Prophet SAW recited, لَمْ يَكُنِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ, or what we know as Surah Al-Bayyinah. Yeah, I think some of you memorize Surah Al-Bayyinah, you recite it in your prayers. The surah itself was revealed in front of Ubay bin Ka'ab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet to recite this verse to Ubay bin Ka'ab. And when Ubay bin Ka'ab heard the Prophet recited the surah, after the Prophet SAW ended his recitation, he actually asked the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention my name? So the Prophet said, he indeed mentioned your name when he told me to read this to you. And after that news, Ubay bin Ka'ab shut down in tears. So of course, even if we are in his position back then, imagine Rasul is telling you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually telling me to recite this verse to you. And the fact that Ubay bin Ka'ab felt so happy with tears that his name was mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by revealing this verse in front of him, and that he was chosen for this particular surah, shows his honor, at the same time shows his virtue as a person who is well acquainted and well associated with the Quran. And in throughout his life, we can see that. So his name isn't mentioned by Allah without any reason. His name isn't mentioned by Allah without any cause. We can see in the beginning, I've mentioned to you guys that he was chosen as an imam. He was amongst the companions who are considered as the greatest Quranic teachers, where even other companions studied under him. He was also part of the committee who somehow formed the first Mushaf or the first Quran, the first written document of the Quran. He was amongst the committee who had the project to do so. When Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu planned to actually form the Mushaf, form the Quran as we know it today, Ubay bin Ka'ab was amongst the committee members. So his entire life is dedicated to the Quran. So it's no surprise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned his name, and he deserves it so much more. So we can see that if we want to be in love with the Quran, we need to be with the Quran every now and then. So let me share with you certain tips, or some tips, in order for you to get your relationship with the Quran more, greater, at the same time to increase your love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. So I think a tip that I would like to share is that, number one, we should know that our relationship with the Quran must be according to four levels. So the first level is reciting the Quran. And as far as recitation is concerned, we know that, you know, a lot of people are reciting the Quran in the mosque, in the home, at their homes, after Maghrib prayers, after Salah. Even some of us are even reciting the Quran when we are going to our work, on the MRT, on the bus, and so on and so forth. So that's the first level of our relationship with the Quran, reciting it. And then comes the next level, the more deeper level, which is to read the Quran. And there's a difference between reading and reciting. Because some people, they think that, oh, when I recite the Quran, I am reading the Quran. So of course, reciting is reading, literally, but reading the Quran means you read with consciousness, meaning you read with an open mind, you read and you understand exactly what Allah is talking to, what Allah is talking about. And that means, for some of you who may know Arabic, trying to understand what Allah is telling you. If those of you who might not know Arabic, meaning reading the translation. So we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for example, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ or Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen or قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. We want to know what exactly is he trying to tell us. That is the second level, reading. And then thirdly, of course, is contemplating. The third, more deeper level of reading, which is to ponder upon the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ponder upon the meanings of the ayah in the Quran, and to actually applicate it in our lives. And that's the fourth level, which is to practice the Quran. So you recite the Quran, you read the Quran as if you are reading a book, you contemplate on the verses, at the same time, you practice the Quran by taking those values and virtues and traits and practicing it in your life, in your daily life. So these four levels is something that we need to work on. So, you know, in order to answer our question, where are we with the Quran? Where are we at reciting the Quran? Where are we at understanding the Quran? This should be our benchmark. So maybe I can share some tips. Some tips, a good example would be to plan a schedule. For those of you who are, you know, organized, likes to plan schedules, maybe you could do, for example, recite as minimum as a surah in 2-3 days, for example. Or maybe one page per day, or maybe half page per day. For some of you who may not be well acquainted with or are not well accustomed to schedules, try to read random surahs, but do it regularly. For example, today you are somehow inclined to read a particular surah, let's say Surah An-Nahl, chapter number 16. So read that surah, because I think when you are inclined to do something, you put your heart into it. Whereas if you do something repetitively, sometimes you might feel bored, and that will actually slack and you will actually somehow undermine your progress. So for some people who are not accustomed to schedules, maybe you could actually read random surahs. So for example, if your heart is inclined to read a particular surah which maybe you thought of, you didn't have read it before, go and read it. Even though it is as short as only a page or two pages, as long as you read it with sincerity, as long as you read it with an open heart, inshallah, you will be rewarded. And of course, maximize it. Open the second level, which is to read the Quran. So try to look at the meanings of the Quran. And what do I mean by looking at the meaning of the Quran? It's not just to just read the words, but at the same time, try to understand. Try to imagine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually talking to you. So for example, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to you, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. That particular verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, try to imagine Allah is telling you this. If your servants tell me or ask about me, tell them that I am near. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. That I will answer prayers those people who call upon me. So treat as if you are having a conversation with Allah. Because at the end of the day, the Quran is in fact a living conversation between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe one tip I could share about understanding the Quran more is actually to look at surahs which contains stories. Because for some people, stories are something that could attract them. And in the Quran, there are plenty of stories. And these stories are suitable to be repeated many, many times. I think the best example is actually Surah Yusuf, chapter number 12 of the Quran. Surah number 12 of the Quran, if you look, Surah Yusuf is, I think, one of the most popular surah because it is a story that is very relevant to us. Even though it may happen thousands of years ago, it is really relevant to us. The story of how Prophet Yusuf, from his childhood until he became a successful leader in Egypt. So I hope you can look into that and be inspired from that. So stories could actually, you know, attract us in trying to understand the Quran. And stories are actually living examples. You know, people who had lived previously before us, who had experienced, you know, who had maybe same concerns as us. So maybe we could be inspired from their stories as well. So again, we need to make sure we take care of the four levels, reciting the Quran regularly, reciting the Quran in our free time, reciting the Quran, for example, as simple as reciting the Quran when we are going to work in the public transports, reading the Quran then and now, because at the end of the day, the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran to us is for us to benefit it. So if we don't really read and understand about it, then we are not necessarily benefiting from the Quran at all. And of course, third, contemplating of the Quran. So contemplation usually comes when you know that the meaning of the Quran is profound, and it gives you meaning in your life. So that's how you contemplate the meanings. And at the end of the day, this contemplation will result in practice, where you know that these virtues, these values that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about, like for example, shukur, for example, tawbah, for example, avoiding envy and jealousy, as mentioned in the Quran, these values and traits, we want to practice them in our daily lives and be better Muslims. So Ubay ibn Ka'ab is a very interesting personality where his entire life is dedicated to the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed certain verses and surahs in front of him. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had even mentioned his name to the Prophet, and Ubay ibn Ka'ab felt so honored to be called by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is a living example of a person who is walking with the Quran every single day until he dies. So of course, we also want to mimic this lifestyle. We want to mimic this lifestyle as a Muslim who is in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's words, who are consistently trying his best to understand, to appreciate, and to find meaning in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because ask yourself, if you really love somebody, you would never be bored. You will always consistently try to look at his words, try to understand his words, especially our grandmothers and our great grandmothers. If you ask them, whenever you know they have a love, they have a person they love, and back then there was no technology, there was no social media, so the only way for them to actually communicate with them was through messages, was through written messages, through letters. And ask them how, you know, how excited are they to actually read a letter. I think for us, when communication is so easy for us, we tend to we tend to not see the beauty of communicating with somebody. So we also hope that by reading the Quran, we are communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with that, I hope that the sharing of mine about Ubay bin Ka'ab can inspire us. At the same time, it can answer the questions that I raised in the beginning of this session. Where are we at reciting the Quran? Where are we at learning about the Quran? Where are we at practicing the Quran? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. And let me just end this session with a hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually had shared with us a very beautiful hadith. So this hadith states that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The one who was devoted to the Quran will be told on the day of resurrection, recite the Quran and ascend in ranks as you used to recite when you were in the world. Your rank will be at the last ayah you recite." So Allah, so the Prophet ﷺ is telling us, continue to recite the Quran, recite as much as you possibly can. For every ayah that you recite, you are actually ascending your ranks in paradise. And your rank in the hereafter will be the last ayah you recite before departing on this world. And of course, we want to depart this world while knowing that our ranks in paradise are quite high. And one way to achieve that is to recite the Quran, to practice the Quran, to love the Quran, as we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all of us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice whatever we learn. Thank you so much.